You know, I want to just say thank you to people that if you're praying for this place and praying for me and my family and private and nobody sees it, you know, and you're sowing your seed and being sacrificial and, you know, nobody sees that. Maybe just it might be a glance by an usher's eye or something, but really they don't even look at the names. They just have to count it and stuff. And you're being faithful to sow seeds for this place. And you show up here in the middle of the week when no one's around and you clean this place. And pastor comes in, it smells and looks so good. You're getting the coffee ready, the cookies, and nobody sees that. You're serving in the back and the sound, and you're doing ushering, and you're going into nursery and taking care of other people's children, and you know, anything that anybody's doing for this church, man, thank you so much. Praise God. You know, and the Bible says that God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love, and that you've shown love, that you do minister for the saints. God knows when you take extra time and you're sowing the seed, and He sees you here doing it. People might not see those things, but we're not trying to get appreciation from people. We're trying to get appreciation from God. And I know at times that's helped me, because let's be honest, people will fail you. People will let you down. People won't hit the mark of maybe showing appreciation. And let's face it, I won't either. I mean, I can't get around to everybody all the time and to tell them I'm thankful, but I can, like today, put a blanket over it and just let you know that every time I come in this place and seeing people doing what they're supposed to be doing and knowing that people are praying in private, and just, it's awesome. It keeps the thing going. Praise God. And so, praise the Lord. He sees it and He'll bless you for it. And keep being excellent and just know that God appreciates. I'll tell you, that'll help you in your job. The job that you might hate. If you say, I'm here doing this for Jesus, and I know, Lord, that I don't want to be here forever and I don't want to work here forever, but I'm going to do my best and trust by faith that you are seeing me do this. And you're going to promote me to something that not only I'm going to be prosperous in, but I'm going to enjoy. Glory to God. That's what faith would do. That's what faith would do. So praise His name. Let's pray. Believe for utterance this morning. Father, we love you. We're so grateful, so thankful for all that you've done, all that you've given. Father, thank you for these precious people. I don't say that lightly or just to sound good. I mean it, Father. They're dear to not only you, but to myself. Father, I labor every single day for them in prayer and to make sure that their lives are what they should be, Father, and walking in the light of what you've had for them. And Father, you've demonstrated to us your love for us by what you did for Jesus and the word that you've given us and the help. So we're just so thankful this morning, Father. Our hearts are just filled with gratitude. And Lord, now is an opportunity for us to change, to go to a new level of glory. Father, to hear the life-changing word of God. And so we thank you for utterance. We thank you for boldness. We thank you. What needs to get said will be said. What needs to be done will be done. Father, hit bullseyes in our heart this morning. We're going to get something for our lives. Walk out of here changed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, just a fast review from last week because we're still not done. We talked about 2 weeks ago the love walk and how love is not convenient at times, and that your faith is run by your love, and that love is a choice. It's not a feeling. In fact, the love that we're called to love people with was that agape kind of love that Jesus demonstrated to us on the cross, right? When he said, Father, forgive them. No way Jesus felt like saying that. No way Jesus felt like doing that. But that was the love that he was governed by. That's the love that we have to be governed by. And that's the love that will cause our faith to work. And then we saw last week, and we'll pick it up right here in this verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. This is Paul talking to the church. He said, and I, brethren, I could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal. And then he likens it to even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, which is what a baby eats, and not with meat, because a baby would choke on meat, wouldn't they? Yeah. But how many of you know that if you want to grow, you can't just stay on milk your whole life? You got to have some other sources of better sources of protein and things like that. So he said, I can't feed you with the better stuff. He says, for hitherto or up until now, you are not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able, for you are carnal. Well, carnal means fleshly, means controlled by your flesh. He says, you're carnal, for where there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as mere men? And so we talked about last week how God is going to have a hard time using you for anything important on this earth, which is by the way a great honor to be used by him to do anything. But when he selects people, the Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. Many people in the body of Christ have plans that God has placed on their life. See, now, don't compare and think, well, I might not ever have a pulpit ministry. Who said pulpit ministry was the most important? Well, I might not ever be sent overseas. Who said being a missionary is most important? What's important is what God has called you to do and you fulfilling what God has called you to do. Praise God. Amen. And so we'll get into this comparison business. But the Bible says many are called, but few are picked. Because God can't, I can't use Abby to do certain things that I can have Caleb do now, and I can't use Caleb to do certain things that maybe a 10-year-old could do, and I can't use a 10-year-old to do certain things that a 20-year-old can do, and I can't use a 20-year-old to do what certain things what a 40, 50, 60-year-old needs to do, right? And so God, if we stay in babyhood stage, well, we're not going to be used, but not only that, we're not going to walk into all that God has for us, being immature and carnal, because when it's talking about being a baby and being carnal, it means that you are ruled and controlled by your emotions, by your feelings, and by your thoughts. That is not how the Christian is to be governed. We are to be governed by the Word of God, above our feelings, above our emotions. Our emotions will want to do railing for railing, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, get back at people. That's what our emotions, that's what our mind, that's what our feelings are going to want to do. This is just one example. But the Word of God says to love, to forgive, to pray. So the Word has to trump how you feel and what you think and what you want to do. And the person that is controlled and governed by their feelings and is emotional all the time and is on this roller coaster, one day up, one day down, one day, you know, being that person, you got to walk on eggshells around. That person is going to have a hard time being picked for God, by God to do anything important because you're a baby. Right? And that's how, I was saying that being mean or demeaning, in spiritual terms, you're still a baby if you're acting like that. That's how babies act. Abby, she could scream with the best of them. She has not learned yet that when she does not get her own way, that what she does is inappropriate in life. I mean, it's appropriate for her as a baby because she's being a baby. But she, okay, Abby, I'm sorry, but when you're 5 and 6 and when you didn't get everything, because everything is mine. Mine. Mine! I mean, Daddy will pull a bell out of the gun and say, mine! Daddy will get his bell out. Mine! No, it's not! Yes, it's mine! Get your eyes off that girl. That's mine, praise the Lord. And that's not appropriate when you get older to just whine and cry and kick and scream when it doesn't go your way. That's how babies act. Because they're governed by their feelings. They're governed by their emotions. So I can't use Abby for very much for anything. Because she's a baby, right? And if she stays at a babyhood stage, that's going to hinder her and not help her. And so our job and our goal is to grow up. And the mature Christian is the one that will do what's right and be governed by this, the Word of God, regardless of what their feelings are telling them. Amen. We talked about spiritual things, that the flesh and the spirit lust against each other. They're constantly at war. So don't be surprised when you don't feel like praying, reading your Bible, or going to church, or walking in love, doing anything on the lines of what God has said to do. Your flesh, your mind, your feelings are going to tell you no. They're going to fight you. All the way to the love bank, they're going to fight you there. All the way to doing the right bank, they're going to fight you there. The whole way. Why? They're fighting, warning. Paul said, in my flesh dwells no good thing. So the mature Christian recognizes, okay, that's where our body's acting. My body's being a big baby. But I'm not governed or controlled by my body. And that's why Paul said, I buffet my body. That word buffet in the Greek means I strike it blow after blow. Just boom, like a boxer. He said, like a boxer, I beat and discipline my body. Well, what does a boxer do to get ready for a fight? They don't eat everything they want. They don't wake up whenever they want. They don't just do any old exercises. They're training. They're constantly telling their body, I don't care that you don't want to go for an 8-mile run this morning. We're going. I don't care that you want to hit the speed bag for a half an hour. We're doing it. I don't care that you want to eat this. We're doing it, right? And Paul said, like a boxer, I buffet, I strike my body, I train it, I treat it harshly, I discipline it. What's he saying is, I tell my flesh, no. You're not going to act this way. I don't care how loud you are. We're going to church. We're going to be in the Word. We're going to do the Word. regardless of what your feelings say. And that person that's going to just constantly, when things go good, oh, they're happy, they're fun to be around. When things go bad, oh, they're pouting in a down, sulking. It's this and this, right? It's like you're at Cedar Point. I'm with a person. That's a terrible way to live. It's a terrible way to live life. And a life of faith doesn't live like that. And so I wanted to continue today. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. I'm not here on Sunday mornings on time ready to do my job every single week because I every single week feel like doing that. Just so you know. It's not always convenient to do this. It's like, you know, it's always convenient to be here. It's always convenient to do the right things. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 says, "We walk by faith, not by sight or sense realm or what we can see and what our emotions are telling us." So we walk through this life, we're governed not by what we can see. Now remember, what we can see is what we can touch. What we can see is what we can actually grab onto and experience in our feelings, in our minds, in our eyes and in our ears of what actually is happening in the natural realm. Paul said, we don't walk by those things. And we talk a lot about faith here and to try to train people up into being faith giants and different things like that. And this is an area that you better grasp and get a hold of when it comes to faith, that we don't walk by what we see. Amen. Our smiles don't come by what we see. Our words are not governed by what we see and hear and what we're touching and things like that. Our shout and our rejoicing, how we treat people, whether or not we're spiritual or not, is not governed by what we are experiencing in the natural realm. And if it is, again, your faith is going to be severely lacking. You know, I've mentioned a little bit about, you know, Captain America and his shield and how we have the shield of faith. And, you know, that we're kind of like superheroes, right? I mentioned on Wednesday that the world doesn't know this, but as far as planet Earth goes, we are it.
Amen.
You know what I mean by that? We are what the world needs. Like, you are a superhero rescuing people from the fiery pits of eternal damnation. Enemy, you're the only one here to do it. Your family, you and the body of Christ. Your family, you have the most powerful, potent, important family on the face of the earth, the body of Christ. Jesus is not here winning people. The disciples are not here winning people. Right? The only people that are here winning people are in this room and around churches and on the body of Christ. Right? We're so vital. We're so important. We're superheroes. The world doesn't recognize us as that, but we are the ones that bridge the gap between hell and heaven for people. Because the Bible says if you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. It says, how can they be saved if they've never heard? How can they never hear if they don't have a preacher? And how can they have a preacher if a preacher's not sent? So to get to salvation, you first got to have somebody to do something. Well, guess who the somebodies are? Voila! It's us! We should just walk around in superhero outfits. Get your tights ready. One time I dressed up as Robin Hood. It was, we didn't have a whole lot of money at this time when I was with, growing up with my mom. But she was so wonderful, you know, Halloween time, wanted to make sure I wasn't left out. And she made out of construction paper a green little hat for me. She cut a hole in a green towel and slipped it over my head. And she got out the green tights for me. And your pastor had the green tights on with a bow and arrow with a construction, and I was Robin Hood. We are the Robin Hoods of this world, rescuing people from darkness. Glory to God. So I say that to tell you that one of your traits to be the most potent and powerful superhero on earth is one that Superman has, X-ray vision. Superman is able to see through a solid structure. See maybe what's behind that door, see what's on the other side of that door, and that's greatly beneficial, right? Hallelujah. Well, we have X-ray vision that we need to use. Go with me to 2 Corinthians. Actually, it's just up to verse 18 of chapter 4. Chapter 4 and verse 18 of 2 Corinthians. Hallelujah. We have the sword of faith, or the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We have the shield of faith. But now we also have X-ray vision. Yeah. And if we'll use it, praise God, we'll benefit from it. It says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. To be a faith giant, you are going to have to develop the eye of faith. The eye of faith comes accustomed and accompanied with X-ray vision. The eye of faith can look through a mountain that is standing in your face, that looks naturally impassable, that looks impossible to get by, that you can't even see around, that it doesn't look like anybody would be able to scale this thing. And the eye of faith with the X-ray vision that God has accompanied it with is able to see through that problem to the victory on the other side. And not be moved by what it sees, and not be tripped up by the fact that you're bumping into it and you can't get over it, it's so hard and it's so rugged, but is only moved by right through to the other side of victory. We walk by faith, not by sight. Praise His holy name. Numbers chapter 13. Glory to God. Talking about going by feelings. Faith giants don't even... I love it. Dr. Webb is a faith giant. That man talks faith so much. I remember Sister Annie Durant, who Pastor Webb is his pastor. Pastor Webb comes into the family churches. And the Durants are his, consider Pastor Webb their pastor. And one time, I love it. Just, and you know, there's someone who can say, oh, he's taking it too far, but he was trying to get a point. She said, they're out with him. He said, Pastor, what do you feel like eating? He said, I don't know. I don't go by my feelings. That was just his immediate response. I don't know. I'm not governed by my feelings. And I love that. People say, oh, come on. And you know, of course, you know, you feel like eating pizza one day and pizza the next day and pizza again and maybe throwing some taco. But I understand you do feel like different things, but I just so appreciated that a faith giant immediately, even such a simple question like that, said, I don't know. Not governed by my feelings. Haven't checked with them. Hallelujah. Yeah. The faith giant does not check with their feelings on whether or not what God has said is going to come to pass. Amen. Numbers 13 and verse 1 says, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, send you men, that they may search the land of Canaan. Now notice this, which I give unto the children of Israel. The land of Canaan was the promised land. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. So the word of God, the promise of God, the will of God was what? That they had a promised land. Well, let me just kind of bridge the gap between that time and this time. God has told you, you have a full supply. Amen. Philippians 4:19 is a promise to you that all your needs will be met according to His riches and glory. God has promised you that your body can experience divine health on this earth. Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5 says, by His stripes, just the shortened version, we are the healed of the Lord. He took it for us, right? The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. The Bible says you have no reason to be anxious or to be fearful. The Bible says that you have supernatural protection, that with long life I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. That's what God has said, okay? Now, what God has said here was, here's the land for you. It's yours. Just like God has told you, prosperity, Christian, is yours. Healing, Christian, is yours. Protection, freedom from fear, anxiety, depression, and worry is yours. Well, so they sent out, they did it. They sent out 12 spies, two of them being Caleb and Joshua. And it says... in verse 26 of Numbers chapter 13, after they had come back, says, they came and went to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel into the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Now they must have been super excited, because the same God that delivered them out of the hands of the Egyptians is the same God that said He's going to give them this land, so it must be good. Because why would He waste time getting them delivered to bring them into something bad? It says, and they told him, if you hear something grumbling up here, my tummy's just a-talking up here. I don't know if the microphone is picking that up, but That's what that is. I'm not sure what's going on. He said, oh, I'm probably hungry. That seems logical. And they told him, and he said, we came unto the land where you sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey. This is the fruit thereof. And they also saw, that's Numbers 13, 26. They also saw there, in the verses before, such clusters of grapes and such fruit of the land that it took more than one person to carry them. That's how good the land was. It flowed with milk and honey. We're in verse 27 now. It says, nevertheless, the people are strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. So now, what are they given a report of? The natural part of the land, that it was good, but there was also bad. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, verse 29. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites. The Jebusites, the Amorites, dwell in the mountains. The Canaanites dwell by the sea, and I can't help but say it, where were the termites? Left out, at least they didn't have termites. They had every bit of ite there but the termites by the coast of Jordan. So they came and they said, the land is wonderful, but we can't have what God has said because the natural is telling us that we can't. Now let's bridge the gap to you now. The Bible tells you that healing is yours. The Bible tells you that a full supply is yours, that all these blessings are yours that we just talked about a few minutes ago. But the natural, through symptoms, through bills, through lack of pay, through economy, through job troubles, through situations, circumstances at your work, through people, through what your kids are doing, might tell you, you can't have what God has said because of what the natural is saying. So God is saying something, and the natural is saying something. God is saying, this land is yours. The natural is saying, oh no, it's not. You can't have it. We're already inhabited. There's already walls and cities here. Verse 30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses, and he said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Now, Caleb is the same. He puts his pants on the same way. He's a human being, just like the other spies. But Caleb is equipped with something different. X-ray vision. He saw the same walled cities. He saw the same people dwelling in the land already possessing it. They already had armies and different things like that and fortresses. He saw the same thing. But see, Caleb wasn't moved by what he saw because what he saw was what was different than other people saw. He was looking at it differently than the other people. He clicked on the old X-ray vision button and he saw through the walls. He saw through the cities and the people that were there, and he saw a dwelling land that God had provided to them. Let's bridge the gap now to you. The natural, through symptoms, through lack of pay, through bills, could tell you, no, your needs aren't going to be met. No, your body's not going to be healed. No, this is not going to be the way it is with your kids. This is not the way it's going to be for your future. And the natural is loud and real at times. You can feel it. There's pressure. I mean, the reports are bad. The doctor's report, the lawyers, the courts, the families, the sickness, the bills, the checkbook. The reports are real. And you can put a hand on them at times, right? But who are going to be the people that are going to flip on the X-ray vision button and look right straight through those loud problems under a land of healing, under a land of provision, unto a land of where your kids are serving God, unto a land of where things are working out for you, where you have favor. Yeah, I'll tell you who the people are going to do it. The faith ones are going to do it. Because we walk by faith, not by sight. And Caleb stilled the people and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we're not able to go up against the people, for they are strong. See, they still hadn't clicked on the X-ray vision. Verse 32, and they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof, and not... And all the people that we saw are great stature. There were giants, sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. So they bring up the report. They put their faith in what they can touch, see. And what does God call it? Evil. Yeah. Notice God didn't say that's a false report, that's an untrue report, because it was true. There were walled cities. There were people already there. There was already people dwelling where a land that was told was theirs. But God says it's evil, not because it's not evil when you say the doctor has said this about me. That's not evil. Faith is not throwing away your brain. Faith is not denying the natural. It's not lack of faith to say my bills are piled so high to the ceiling and I have not enough money coming in to pay for these bills. That's not lack of faith to say that, to report on it. It's not lack of faith to say this is going on in my job, this is going on in my body, this is going on. It's not lack of faith. Where the evilness comes in is when you transition over and step into a place of belief concerning what you see, concerning what you feel. And now no longer is God's word the absolute trump card in your life. Now what you can feel, what you can see in your bank account, what's going on in your situation, that becomes the thing that you're looking at to say, I can't have what God has said because of this. They were saying, 10 of them were saying, and convinced the whole 2 million, we can't have what God has said we could have because of what the natural is saying. And God said, that is evil. What do you mean you can't have what I'm saying because everything I say trumps what you can see? That's what faith is. That's what faith is. And they're saying, we can't have it. God said, that's evil. That's evil. Go with me to Romans chapter 4. I'm telling you, when it comes to your love walk, when it comes to 3 main things, your love walk, your spiritual disciplines, which are going to church when the church doors are open, going, seeking God on your own, praying, seeking Him, spending time with Him. That's called spiritual disciplines. Love walk and your faith walk. If you are a feeling governed person, you are going to fail in those areas because none of those areas are based on what you feel. Your love walk is not based on what you feel. Your spiritual disciplines are not based on what you feel because you're not going to feel like doing it. And your faith life is going to always be challenged by the natural telling you, you can't have what God has said. Why? Because through situations, circumstances, and an enemy that we have, He'll kick up a dust storm to make it so cloudy and foggy and hazy that you can't see through it to what God has for you. And as a faith person, to get to your healing, to get to your health, to get to your prosperity, your provision, you're going to have to be able to see through that dust storm to what God has said. And talk in line with that. Smile in line with that. Treat people in line with this. Conduct yourselves in how you walk and how you keep your head up in line with that. Right? Praise God. Romans 4. In verse 19, remember, Abraham, who was told at the age of 75 years old that he'd have a child? Well, he had some problems believing, didn't he? We see him laughing at God. We see Sarah laughing at God. We see him questioning God. Well, we know he eventually got to the place of belief because the Bible said he was fully persuaded, convinced that what God... So eventually he got there. So don't be comparing your situation to Abraham. So I got to wait 25 years. Not if you're in faith. Right. You ain't got to wait that long. Yeah. But he was in doubt and unbelief for a while. But he got fully persuaded and fully convinced, right? Look what it says in verse 19. Now remember, when Isaac is born, he's 100 years old. That means at one time he was 99 years old without a son, yet God was telling him, you're going to have a son. Amen?
Amen.
And not being weak in faith. Now remember, faith is everything for the believer. That's how we're governed. So what is weak faith? He considered, this is amazing. He considered not his own body, which was now dead. 100-year-olds are not making babies. Nor yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. She was 90. 190 years combined with those two. And God is saying, you're going to have a child. In fact, I'm going to change your name to Father of Many Nations because I've made you a daddy right now.
Amen.
God just does things different.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Why? We don't need to ask that, right? We just follow it, right? I don't know why a lot of this stuff, but he does. I just follow it. But here's what it's amazing. And it goes on in verse 20. It says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. See, a lot of Christians are staggering. They're not getting their promise. They're staggering. Why? Because they're going through unbelief. Oh, I can't have my healing because the doctor. I can't have this because the genetics. I can't have my prosperity because my job's not paying me enough because the bills are too high. And you're just staggering around in unbelief. And not getting anywhere. It says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. What did God promise? You're going to have a child. And the Bible says that Abraham was convinced. Now, Josh, if you would, please go back to verse 19. It says, now this is what I want you to get, and we'll bridge the gap to your situation. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. Well, when you have a child, it takes people to make them. Now, I know you're doing crazy things. I mean, I bet you there'll be a day when you can just, and on the printer will come a baby. I mean, it just seems that's the way we're going. But you know, in God's eyes, it takes two people. To make a baby, right? That was God's intention. I think he knew what he was talking about. But anyways, and you know, we're thankful for medical things that are not immoral and things that help people along with that process. Absolutely, we're thankful for that. But it takes people to make babies. And people have bodies. And it takes healthy bodies and vibrant bodies and people that are not 190 combined years of age to make a baby. So, everything naturally to get to the promise, which was have a child, right? The baby's over here. To get there, the only thing with anybody with a half a brain that would say we can get there is totally dependent on the bodies involved. You can't expect a 100-year-old and a 90-year-old who the womb is dead, and Abraham said, I'm just as good as dead, to have babies. That would be the only thing that would say, okay, to get to this point, what are we working with? What are we working with here? What are our test subjects? Oh, fun. 190. Right? And the Bible says that Abraham didn't even count his health, her womb, their age, as being anything in the equation to get to the baby. He says, my equation with God does not equal healthy man, healthy woman, baby. It just equals God said it. Promise. God said it. Promise. So let's bridge the gap to you now. Praise God. If he didn't consider the natural, and the natural is the only thing that naturally speaking can get you a baby, is some natural right things happening, and all those natural things were voided out, and Abraham said, oh, it doesn't matter to me that her womb's dead. That's not going to be the determining factor. It doesn't matter to me that I'm 100 years old, and our hot nights by the fireplace are few and far between. They're 100 and they're 90. I'm just being real. I'm not trying to be sicko or weird. I'm just being real. He said, I'm not concerned. You don't look like the lady I fell in love with. And she said, well, you don't either. And he said, I'm not considering that. Doesn't matter. That's not in the equation to get the baby. The only equation is, did God say it? So why then would you consider your checkbook, your pay from your job, or what you have saved up, or consider the stack of bills, how high they are? It's like you got a skyscraper in your home on your desk of bills standing up. Why would you consider that as to whether or not Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs? Well, that's the result. The result is all your needs being met, like the baby over here. Why would you consider, well, that's only going to happen if my checkbook, if my bills, if, why would you do that? That's weak in faith. That's weak in faith. The only thing you're considering to get to all my needs met is, God said it. God said it. Why would you then consider What the doctors report, the goal with the baby and the provision over here, now there's healing over here. Why would you consider getting to that point based on a doctor's report? Based on what a doctor says. What a testimony Albert had last week. If you didn't hear it, you need to get online and listen. I don't know if it's on there. Maybe we can figure a way to get it on there. But totally been told something by the doctors. It's real. Something scary. He said, it doesn't matter. That's not what God has said about me. Me getting to that place of healing is not dependent on what's in my head and what the doctors are seeing and how big it is. But why do we consider that as being, because that's the thing we grab onto to say, well, we can have our healing if, we can have our provision if. No, that's not faith. That's weak in faith. That's weak in faith. Abraham didn't even consider it. Didn't even consider it. He just went by what God has said. He said, that's what I'm governed by. We walk by faith and not by sight. Romans 4:17, we'll close with this. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. God did this before he was a dad. He changed his name to Abraham, which means in the Hebrew, father of many nations, before. He says, before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead. I love that. Wow. That just came, jumped right off the page to me. God quickeneth the dead. What was the dead? Her womb? His body? What's dead in your life in the water of compared to healing? Might be your body. Dead in the water to get to healing, what the doctor said, impossible. Your finances might be dead in the water. What you have compared to the promise might be so far off. What God has said about your children and what your children are doing might be so far off. What God has said about your situation, your favor, whatever's going on in your mind might be so far off from what the promise says you can have, right? Might be completely opposite and completely different, and they can be considered dead, yet God quickeneth the dead. That word quickeneth means to make alive. How did God take the promises of baby, the natural saying, no way, they're dead in their bodies, they can't do this physically and naturally. How did God make it and put his little touch on it to get them there? How did he quickeneth the dead? He calleth. Everybody say, calleth. He calleth those things which be not as though they were, and it quickens the dead and makes the dead things alive. He looked at Abraham, an old man who is naturally and physically not able to have a baby. He looked at him and said, you are no longer Abram. I'm going to quicken that dead body. And the way I'm going to do it is I'm going to call those things which be not as though they were. I am now calling you Abraham, which translated means father of many nations. That's how you're going to quicken the dead things in your life. You're going to not do it any other way than how God does it. You're going to speak to those dead things. You are going to call those dead things what the stinking word of God says. And you're going to speak to those dead things. And you're going to revive those dead things. You're going to resuscitate those dead things. And you're going to give them a heartbeat. You're going to get blood flowing through those things. And you're going to walk into what God has for you. And that's the only way you're going to do it. Moaning and groaning and complaining and wishing and hoping and all that. That's not how you do it. God didn't wish Abraham that way. God didn't mumble and groan about it. He said, I'm going to quicken you. I'm going to speak words of life to you. Amen. You have the Spirit of the living God on the inside of you. The Bible says that he which raised Jesus from the dead, that same Spirit dwells in you. When the Christian speaks, there's authority with that. Praise God. So I encourage you, whatever's dead in your life, the promise of God is not, well, the lawyers, the doctors, the courts, the checkbook, the job, the economy, the news. Stop even considering that of getting to your destination. To get to your destination is only based on what he says. So if you have something in your life, health, physical, circumstances where you need favor, stop being so moved by what you're seeing and what you're hearing and what you're feeling. Start, find your promise and start speaking to those things that are dead and giving you a hard time and call them the way you want them. Amen. Call that sick body whole. Amen. Call that situation turned around. Amen. Call that thing where it looks like you have no favor. I have the favor of God on my life. I'm a child of the King. Amen. Start calling your finances. I remember one person said, it's ridiculous that you speak to things. I talk to my checkbook because it talks to me. Yeah, always telling me there's not going to be enough. Your body talks to you. Your situations talk to you. Your circumstances have a voice. Well, the fig tree had a voice. Yeah. Nana, nana, boo, boo, you're going to be hungry. You're not going to eat. Jesus, I'm going to shut you up. Yeah. Cursed are you, fig tree. Here, eat that. Yeah. He spoke to an it. Yeah. A checkbook's an it. Yeah. It is. Yeah. Your bills are its. Amen. Jesus spoke to it, a fig tree. Changed it by his words. He called those things which be not as though they were. He called it cursed. Amen. It wasn't cursed till the next day.
That's right.
You call your bills cursed. You call that sickness cursed. Doesn't mean it'll change right away, but you stick with it. Faith will move the mountain.
Amen.
Some mountains are big and they take a little. You know, sometimes you go into a house. It doesn't take as long to move something like this as it does a big cabinet.
Right.
Or a big piece of furniture. Maybe it takes a little more strength, a little more moving, but you'll get it moved. Call those things. From this point forward, leaving this place this morning, start calling those things the way you want them according to the Word. Amen?
Amen?
Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word this morning. We're blessed, Father, to have the Bible. So thankful for the Bible. Father, that's what I mean about a GPS. Lord, if I didn't know this stuff, I would just be begging you like a little whiny, moaning and groaning, complaining baby to get all my needs met. That's why I would do it, because that's the way we're taught. Lord, if I didn't know any better, but I have a GPS. I just got to listen to the GPS. The GPS says to call, quickeneth the dead, calling those things which be not. And devil, if you're giving the people thoughts of, well, that's how God does it, that works for God. Well, the Bible says to be an imitator of God, so there. We are supposed to do whatever God does. That's how we operate. So we thank you, Father, for faith this morning. We thank you for life coming into those situations. We thank you for a pulse. We thank you for a heartbeat. We thank you for victory in those. Lord, we flip on the X-ray vision that you've given us. We see through those mountains and we see our victory on the other side. And we hold on to and we grasp on to what you have said, not what we can see, feel, and what we're experiencing. Father, we love you this morning. We glorify you. We magnify you. Lord, faith is awesome, but giving us Jesus is even better. We're so thankful that we're able to be called children of God by just accepting you. You've made it simple. You said if we call on your name, we'll be saved. That's it. We just don't need to consider anything else. Don't have to consider our good works, our bad works, our church attendance, our lack of church attendance, our giving, our non-giving. Doesn't matter. Just like Abraham considered not his own body, the only thing I have to consider when it comes to salvation is if I call on Jesus' name. And I only would call on his name because I believe in him. If you're here this morning and you can say, I believe that Jesus died and rose again. I believe that. And I want him into my life. And you're not sure that you've accepted him. Because the Bible says to get to the saved part, you do have to call on his name. If you could say, I don't think I've ever called his name. I've been religious and I've gone to church, but I don't think I've ever made a commitment to Jesus. If you're here listening by live stream and you want to do that, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around, we won't embarrass you, but if you want to receive Jesus for the first time ever in this service, would you just lift your hand in the air if you've never done it before? Anybody at all want to receive Jesus? Don't let this moment pass you by. Nobody's looking. This isn't to embarrass anybody or to make you feel uncomfortable. But if you can say, I believe in Jesus, but I've never asked him into my heart, would you just lift your hand if there's anybody in here? My goodness, life is too short to play around with this stuff. Anybody at all in this room? Father, I don't see any hands, so I trust that we are all born again. But Lord, I can't see people that are listening by live stream, and there might be some people in here that are just shy. Well, it's not the raising of the hand that gets us born again. It's the confession that you're Lord and that you died and rose again. So if you're here and you say, I should have raised my hand, or if you're listening by live stream, say, I want to get included on this, all you have to do is cry out to him. Just get alone with him and say, Lord, I do believe in you. I do believe you died and rose again. Please come into my heart. That's as simple as it is to get accepted by God, to become his child. And if you do that on your own or in private, please just let me know. It'll be between you and I. I'd like to get you some materials and get you started on your new walk with God, your new life, your new journey. Father, we bless you tonight, or this morning, I should say. We glorify you. Thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. In Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget, no Wednesday this week. Check out live stream if you can up in Canada. And you have a good week, and we'll see you on Sunday at 10 o'clock.